tweet at Today SOR.
A long-serving elder of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland who had been dismissed from his position due to being in a same-sex marriage has been told his appeal into the matter has been dismissed. Stephen Smirl held the position of elder in Christchurch Sandymount in South Dublin, a role he'd been in since 2007. And Stephen Smirl is with me in studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in. You got this news on your appeal just yesterday. But just take me back. You were ordained as a church elder in 2007, as I say, 12 years ago. What exactly does an elder do in the Presbyterian Church?
The clergy, for want of a better term, in the Presbyterian Church are divided into, they're all elders and they're divided into two. There are ruling elders and teaching elders, and the teaching elders will be the ministers, and they're generally referred to as ministers. There would be one, at least one minister in every congregation that would lead it. The elders would be ordained ordinary members within the congregation who would assist the minister in their work in the congregation.
So it's a kind of a part-time role. I don't know if the term layperson, but with responsibilities, might be a way to explain it.
Because until I received my letter yesterday, I was an ordained member of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. All elders are ordained. Some are ordained, shall we say, for greater things, for ministry, and some to be the assistants to the minister in the form of ruling elders.
Right. And do you conduct services as an elder?
You can do, but most don't. Elders, some would preach. I have certainly preached in church. I have led services, but not particularly because I'm an elder, simply because the opportunity arose.
Okay, now, at the heart of this is the fact that you got married just last year to Roy, your husband.
Yes.
And he's been a member of the same church in Sandymount for a long number of years as well.
Yeah, well, I joined the church in Sandymount nearly 30 years ago. I've been a member of PCI for 30 years. Roy used to be in the choir in Christchurch Cathedral. He met me and I lured him away. He retired from the choir in Christchurch and joined me in the Presbyterian and Methodist churches. Our congregation in Sandymount is a joint Methodist and Presbyterian congregation, and he has been a member there for almost 20 years.
And was it known that you were together over that period?
Oh, without doubt. Everybody knew. And within the congregation, everybody approved. Now, I say within the congregation. I'm not suggesting that I know of people outside the congregation. I'm simply saying that everybody within the congregation was 100% aware that I have a gay relationship with another man.
And you became civil partners, I think, 7 or 8 years ago?
In November 2011. And we celebrated our marriage, which was a great step forward, on exactly the same day, the 5th of November 2018.
So you're coming up to your first anniversary. But prior to that, and I think this is perhaps at the heart of the dispute that's arisen, or at least your expulsion now as an elder. Prior to that, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church had voted to deny full membership of the church to anyone in a same-sex relationship. Now, that's something I think you were actually at the meeting where that was decided.
I was at the General Assembly that decided that. There was quite a long debate. It certainly wasn't anything that was near unanimous. Clearly, there was enough people to pass it. It simply wasn't. There was such bad publicity in the weeks and months afterwards. Most people who are sensible thought, well, having vented their spleen and made this particular policy, it would be something that they would be very slow to actually implement. Well, maybe I should have thought differently. I didn't enter my marriage with Roy in November last year sort of sticking two fingers to the church. I entered it knowing that I was entitled to do this and I was going to be married to Roy. I didn't see any reason why I shouldn't be.
Yes, and did you speak at the debate?
No. I never actually spoken at the General Assembly, and now I won't be doing either.
Yeah, and so then how did it come to the point where you found yourself being stood down as an elder?
Well, at the beginning of November, I received a phone call from a member of the Dublin Munster Presbytery, a minister, who claimed that there had been concerns raised about my position as an elder. And I asked what these claims were. I can only describe the conversation as rather fraught and a little bit sinister. I was told that the clerk of presbytery was monitoring the conversation. I was so taken aback, I didn't really get a chance to say that wasn't appropriate or acceptable. I asked what the concerns were. I was told that I had to meet them to be told what the concerns were. I said that that wasn't acceptable, that they should tell me what these concerns were. We went round in circles. I said that they should write to me then and give me the what these concerns or allegations were in advance before a meeting.
Did you surmise or suspect that it was to do with your relationship?
Yes, but you just wouldn't know. I mean, you just wouldn't actually know. I suppose, yes, if I was asked now to take a guess what the most likely thing would be, then yes, that would be it. But you just wouldn't know. I mean, people make allegations, don't they? You have no idea what they are. And to my mind, the tone and the manner of the conversation made this sound so odd. If they knew I was in a same-sex relationship, why not just say that? What happened was, then for the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I was denied any information of what the allegations were unless I was willing to meet them, so that, as far as I'm concerned, I could be ambushed with the information. I made it clear through a number of letters that went backwards and forwards with myself and the then moderator of the presbytery. I made it clear that I needed to be told in advance what the concerns or allegations were. I was told each time that I could be told them when I met them, and eventually I can only say that it led to coercing. I was told that unless I was would meet them for an informal conversation, then the issue would be escalated to presbytery.
And you, I think, used the GDPR legislation to effectively oblige them to give you whatever they had on you on paper.
Sean, it was outrageous, because in the end, the only way to actually get some information out of them about what these concerns were was to submit a GDPR application. By that time, Presbytery had met and decided to set up a commission to investigate me. Now, the Presbytery had not even been told what the allegations were. They made a decision to set up the commission without ever being told the information. I was given the information under GDPR eventually. And what I discovered was that what had been submitted to them was a blank email. Now, when I say blank, it had no words in it whatsoever. It had seven images attached to it. And it sort of sickened me to my stomach when I saw this, because they were images, screenshots of happy family events that were taken from mine and Roy's social media. They were images of our holidays abroad and at home, of our civil partnership. There was also an image of a letter that had been submitted by us to Dublin City Council, which where we made a comment on a neighbour's application. And the note appended to this was that it was evidence that we cohabited. I could cry, Sean, because really it was the most distressing situation to be in, to see that I was being spied upon like something out of East Germany
And was there a name? Were you told who the complainant was?
No, I have never been told who the complainant was.
Right. I suppose at the heart of this is the fact that a complaint had been made, a valid one, presumably in the eyes of the commissioner, at least the senior people in the Presbyterian Church. And what it comes down to maybe is the fact that they have a position on same-sex marriage. You are in a same-sex marriage and the two are incompatible, and they had to do something about it in view of a complaint.
Well, it depends how you look at this, because the situation is that what I'm told is that the church has a very clear policy. The church doesn't have a clear policy. It passed a report last year which said that it was not possible for gay couples to take communion or to have their children baptised. But what they're really saying is it comes down to the church says it's not homophobic, but as far as I'm concerned, everything that's been done to me in the past 6 months is homophobic. If you're a member of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and you're straight, you can be married and be a member of the church. What they're saying is that you're gay, you can either be a member of the church or you can be married. It's incompatible to do both. And basically, I was left in a situation where if I was to play Russian roulette with myself and Roy's financial future, I had to cross my fingers and decide that we would get married. We didn't shout from the rooftops, we didn't scream, we didn't say, hey, PCI, look, we've got married. We just quietly went along. Myself and Roy, obviously, on the day, and 10 members of our family and friends attended our wedding.
Indeed, but in your own way of looking at it, and Roy's as well, because you were both members of this congregation, did you yourselves not see a contradiction between the role you were occupying, a public role with the church, and your private life?
No, not particularly, because in the end, as a citizen of Ireland, I had a right to contract a marriage with the person of my choice, and I didn't think that I should be dictated to by the Presbyterian Church in Ireland.
Were they telling you that you couldn't get married, or were they telling you you couldn't be an elder if you did get married?
Well, we didn't even get to that point. We only got to the point where, after I had been married, I was then confronted by a person who I felt simply had an axe to grind and was determined at every twist and turn of the route to ensure that her the verdict in the end would be that I would be put out of the church.
And was it the case then that for the previous effectively 20 years it was a case, to borrow the phrase from I think Bill Clinton and the US Navy and Army back in the day 20 years ago, don't ask, don't tell, is that what applied?
Well, possibly, but I didn't follow that. As far as I was very open, everybody knows that I am gay. I have never made a secret of it since I was 18, and I burst into tears. I sat on my mother's bed and she asked me what was wrong, and I couldn't say, and she told me, I'll tell you what's wrong, you're gay. And since then I thought to myself, well, what's the point of denying any of this and hiding it? I don't see why I should. And while I can understand that the Presbyterian Church in Ireland has a policy, it's not a very clear policy, but it has a policy that shouldn't be allowed to be used in such a way that it discriminates between different types of people based solely on their sexuality.
So this decision was taken, you appealed it, you learned yesterday that your appeal has been rejected. Where does that leave you now, Stephen?
Well, it leaves me that I am no longer able to act as an elder in the congregation that I'm attached to. But I might remind PCI that in being ordained as an elder, this is done through the laying on of hands and the through the Holy Spirit. They can stop me acting as an elder, but they cannot take away my ordination.
So what do you intend to do? I mean, have you been going to services since all of this blew up?
I really, this took me so by surprise and shocked me that I haven't been to church really since either the end of May or the beginning of June. But I do intend to return to my congregation at the end of the month with my head held high, because as far as I'm concerned and my own congregation, I have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
And do you expect that you'll be able to perform any functions, or do you accept now that those days are over? You'll just be there, if you like, in the pew or in the congregation.
The PCI needs to think, of course, in relation to our own congregation, that being a joint Methodist and Presbyterian congregation, not once did they ever take the views of the Methodist Church into account in this situation. Whether I will be able to serve on the church council in future, I don't know.
Stephen Smirrell, thank you so much indeed for coming to studio.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.